Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, of course.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Monday. Happy April to everybody. All the March madnesses are over, done with, kaput, goodbye. But this is Paragon Radio, and I'm Pogo Man, your host. Let's not waste time. Let's get to all the news that we can fit in 90 minutes. Let's bring him on, ladies and gentlemen. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just call him Mad Viking.
I told you I beat Barney. I knew it. I told you.
Hey, what a surprise. Jeez, you just ruined the whole thing I had set up for that. Thanks.
I said I was going to do it. Well, the other one, I was thinking because also thinking about it, you do the intro of the 66 Batman getting into the Batmobile, and I'm looking at the post of the picture of the YouTube video that I put in the Dawn Radio Gaming, Dawn Radio Public Chat, and it's clearly Vince McMahon with the mustache.
Right.
The only thing that came to my mind immediately when I saw that is Cesar Romero. They're going to do a redo of the 66 Batman, and Vince McMahon is going to play Cesar Romero Joker with the paint, face paint going over the mustache. I'm looking at it right now.
Yep, and he's laughing. Folks, and Vince McMahon is laughing all the way to the bank today because yesterday they struck a deal with Endeavor, the company that owns UFC. Vince McMahon has sold WWE to them for $9.3 billion.
On the lighter note, we probably will never see the likes of Vince Russo ever again.
Oh, Vince Russo, he's been gone for years. He's been out of it. But Vince McMahon is still going to remain in some capacity, he says. But I don't know, you know, if he realizes he might not. But
well, basically, he'll be coming out, you know, in the beginning of certain Raws going, "Hi, remember me? Hey,
everybody's going to
pull WWE," and go back, get back in the back.
But Triple H, I had the TV on background, no noise on. Triple H is out to address the crowd. Because let's face it, WrestleMania was this weekend. Two-night event again. And the Raw, after Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania is usually the rowdiest of them all. Because they usually have a deal, a package deal, where if you go to WrestleMania, you can buy a ticket for Monday Night Raw. And the crowd is just juiced up. Not on steroids or anything like that. It's just they're still pumped from the weekend. And it's just like super rowdy. In a positive way, not fighting, just...
Well, it could be fighting if Roman Reigns shows up. It could be fighting.
Oh, good Lord. It could be. Oh, my God. Yeah. But don't worry, then you'll see how many members of the bloodline there really are. And they'll run to the crowd and, you know, attack everybody. Oh.
Yeah, but like I said, I'm looking. You can see the picture here. I know you got the Discord for Dawn Radio Gaming. There it is. And all I saw was Cesar Romero.
Oh, I saw the picture of it. I've seen the picture of him with the mustache.
Well, anyone else?
And I was like, huh? Well, because that's CGI'd. Huh?
Oh, we both have A-OK.
Okay.
Yes. We have our AFK checker.
That's right. So, yes. So, the March Madness Mayhem has officially ended. Barney, as we predicted, would be the one eliminated. Gone to the lagoon. For the second time, Trump was in the finals, and he survived.
Now this is curious, because the first time Trump waited all the way to the end, that's when Trump got elected. And now, you know, tomorrow the indictment thing. I'm going to predict two things. They're either going to try for a dismissal and or try to move it to Staten Island. And you're going to look, what's, why Staten Island? That's a very easy answer. And Pokemon would say, yep, right out of the gate. Because out of all of the blue states, city of New York, there's New York City, and they got to keep it in New York City, if I understand this right. Staten Island, on the other hand, is not blue. It's red. So they're going to try to move it on to Staten. So that's my prediction on that. I'm also, if you are in the New York area, don't drive in Manhattan. Don't think about it. Don't do it.
So what? What a lot of people are questioning is, how come Hunter wasn't brought up on charges?
Well, because his name's not Trump. It's not Hunter Trump.
That's true. That's true.
Remember, New York City's aiming for Trump, okay? So.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, if it was Junior, yeah, they'll go for him, as in Donald Junior. I think going after Ivanka. And I'm going like, what did Ivanka do? He has Trump's name. Yeah? So?
Well, you know.
If anything, it's like, remember, this is supposedly hush money to keep an affair quiet. And you want to jail the person that got cheated on? Huh?
I don't know.
Now, once again, not pointing out that if we're Republican or Democrat, because we just know common sense, and common sense is, there is no common sense. Not in this one.
It reminds me when I was at Verizon. Somebody started something with me. The person who did it got away with it because they have anxiety disorder. Oh, well, they didn't know what they were doing. Okay, so why am I getting in trouble if I'm the victim here? Well, you reported them. What did you want me to do? They took a wood ruler, smacked me in the back of the head to the point the ruler cracked. The back of my head is bright red. Almost to the point, like if the person hit me any harder, it would have bled and rushed me to the hospital. Matter of fact, they had to take me to the hospital, and I was under 24-hour concussion protocol. So what did you want me to do? I got a call the next day. Yeah, that person's at work, like nothing happened. The managers are coddling her, saying that they were going to deal with me the next day. I found this. I called. What do you mean? And the union found out. Like, what do you mean you're going to deal with me the next day? Oh, we don't know who's telling you this. Well, I got calls from 10 people. So I came into work. Managers are there. The union, the main union reps were there saying, no, you're not doing anything to him. You can do something about this person. Enough's enough.
So,
saving grace was, we found out one of the big managers there had this person doing secret projects they weren't supposed to be touching. They got fired for that.
Basically, you know, there's a lot of people, even on doesn't matter what the political party is. Don't go with the news here. Go with the people you know and how they're looking cross-eyed at this whole situation. Going, huh?
That's right. That's right.
Because I know, like I said, on both sides of the field, and everyone is going, huh? How? Who? What? So, we'll see what happens. That's all I can say. All right.
Time
to get off the soapbox time.
Yep. Let's get to what we were going to talk about.
Okay.
And I forget. No. Roman Reigns is coming out. What a surprise. And the place is rioting. The place is rioting. They're coming down from the cheap seats. Oh, my God. No.
But, yeah, like I said, with WWE, we'll see what happens. I mean, they had a whole bunch of UFC people at WrestleMania.
I mean, they
point Ronda Rousey's going, probably was going like, I don't feel important anymore.
No. What's funny is she won her match last night. They won their tag match last night, so.
Once again, it was another case of, yeah, we kind of expected this one.
So, I'm wondering now, UFC owns WWE, right?
Yes.
Hear me out.
All right.
Brock Lesnar is a former UFC champion.
Mm-hmm. Ronda Rousey, same thing.
All right, how soon do you think it is before they're both champions again? If they have their... Because here's the thing. They're supposed to be a board. Like, all ideas have to go before the board. And it's going to be six people from Endeavor, the company owns UFC, and five from WWE. So I'm just curious.
And when are they going to imitate the TNA Impact and the four-sided ring turns into a six-sided ring?
Oh, like the eight side, like the octagon. Nah.
Yeah.
I think they realize that they're two different entities. You know, you got to let one do their thing, the other will do their thing.
Because remember, you know, you had Jeff Jarrett for a while there. I'll take you into the octagon.
Yeah, but he's over in AEW, so.
Oh, the thing is, they're going to try. You watch.
Well, what's funny is Shane McMahon, he was doing that fight pit thing when he was at WWE. And that's why he got, you know, way back when. And then all of a sudden they just ended it. So.
Well, because there was no real entertainment. Yeah, we got to see them fight, you know, pure fight. But
right.
It was like, had the entertainment value of listening to Ben Stein read a porno. It's just not going to work.
I know a lot of people tuned into that segment of the show.
Yes.
So. I don't know. I still think it would have been funny if WWE had bought UFC. I don't know what would have happened, but
I'll put it in three letters. XFL.
FL. I was just after I said that, I was just thinking the same thing.
They had some good concepts that you had to admit, the moving camera, you know, over
right.
The players. That was a good idea. The cams and mics in the helmet. That was a good idea. Why are you
right.
trying
well,
to
they do that with
WWE
some of the players.
Dialogue and
yeah, I don't know.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't know.
And where we got the AF and our AFJ checker, El Lord
again.
Look again.
Okay.
And you're going like, why are you doing all this thing, you know, with what's going to happen tomorrow? Why? We live in New York. I'm above Manhattan. He's to the east of Manhattan. But eventually, both of us will be looking at that. Going, no, we're not going nowhere near Manhattan.
Yeah. No. Don't go near Manhattan. Don't do it. Don't go near there.
If you know anyone who's even thinking about whether it was for or against the guy. Cisco, don't do it. Don't do
nope.
it. It's not a case that we know something. We just go. We just see common sense happening. Don't do it.
Whatever you do.
And if something happens and you're listening to this podcast later on in the week, you're going like, yep, they knew what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. okay. Well, the checks
okay.
here for the updates, and there was nothing from Ship of Heroes.
I got nothing from City of Titans. And the other
we
two
don't
games,
even bother with Valiance anymore.
And,
we don't
and
bother
nothing from
with Heroes versus Villains
Heroes.
Anymore. Because they said they're going back to square one.
I don't even know what square one is for them anymore because they've just gone. I don't know. It's been a while. Something's going on here. Oh, Cody Rhodes is coming out. This should be interesting. I must watch this later on.
Yeah, not
now.
Not now.
I know.
On City of Heroes, they had the map server event.
Which one?
The map server event for April Fool's Weekend. Basically,
what was that?
Basically, the area intentionally gave out the wrong experience and influence, if I understand this right.
Oh, really? So,
mm-hmm.
like what, more or less? More?
Yeah, both.
Oh, really? That'd be funny. I bought a level one mobster. I got 10 million experience.
And you can get the toy, and you are able to get the toy bat again. Toy.
Really? Wait, that was City of Heroes or Champions?
That was City of Heroes.
Oh.
Champions, they did their usual
that was
Millennium
great.
City.
They flooded it. They turned everybody into action figures. If you had any auras, one of my characters, Pogo Wabbit, I logged on to the Fox back on they started. He was swimming. He looked like an action figure. And he had the bobblehead and the big hands, the big paws. I'm like, good Lord, this is ridiculous. So I just logged on early morning before Mom had to go to dialysis, and I ran them all through really quickly just to do the event on Thursday morning.
Mm.
So I thought that was funny.
And nothing really big after that.
No. I think somebody said that if you did missions, it did the Champions Noir, where everything was black and white in the missions. I'm online. Jesus Christ.
So in
sorry
other
about
words,
that.
Defender talked about penetrating, but in a slow, methodical way, like a detective of the 1940s.
I don't know. I never got to try it. They just said that the missions were, if you did an indoor mission, it was black and white.
Let's see. I kind of made it easy. There was no updates. April Fool.
Oh.
Yeah. They could have juiced it up better.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to bring up for
all
the
right.
City of Hero players. So I briefly mentioned this Friday night, but I said I'd save it for time. Do you remember a supergroup from City of Hero days named the Running of the Bulls?
I want to say, the name.
It was on Virtue.
Familiar.
They were on Virtue, and this is what they did. It had to be a side group because the only time they showed up was when there was like if a group had a big outing, right,
mm-hmm.
and all the groups showed up, they showed up in the middle of it, and they came. The characters were bulls, and all they would do is they'd form a line and they'd just run around and they'd run around everybody, and I thought it was hilarious. So me and one of my friends, we would just join and go, boo, boo. And that's all they did the whole time. They just ran around all over the place. They did this for about 5 or 10 minutes. We thought it was hysterical.
That was when the day where people nowadays they go, harassing. No, everyone knew the
yeah.
bit.
Right.
This was a bit.
Right. That's what I mean. You can't get. Yeah. I think nowadays, we have to ban you guys. Oh my God.
Oy.
How dare you dress as bulls, run around. And do this.
There. Okay.
Okay, you good? Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking. Yes, and I'm still in Champions. And Champions Online, I'm still wearing my suit of armor as the giant purple dinosaur slayer. Mwah. For victory! But next year, it's Juggalo hunting season.
And Masquerade swears she's now going to constantly request Trump Green Acres. Just because Trump
okay.
is one of the thanking songs. Which is true.
And well, it's Trump and Megan Milani, so... You know, it's not just Trump.
Well, someone actually did research of when that video resurfaced during the election.
Right.
And Megan Mullally is going like, if anyone's looking for me, I'm hiding in a hole.
Right. Yes, I saw that. Yes, I saw it. It wasn't me. I regret doing it. I didn't know what I was doing back then. Leave me alone.
I'm going like you were doing what everyone else was doing. It was called having fun at the time being. Trump was popular. He just started
right.
The Apprentice. He did a few cameos in movies.
I didn't know.
And now, Pokemon, you're AFK before you are told that you're AFK.
Oh, no. All right.
They really got to fix that. You know, the timing of the AFK.
Hold on.
You can't move
now. Wow. No, hold on. When was... Oh, never mind. I'm looking at my Google, right? And there's a story here, but it was from April 1st. So, never mind.
That should have been the dead giveaway.
That's why I didn't... I was like, that's why I checked. When I saw the headline, like, hold on. I was like, what day did this come out? The headline... This is the headline. Ready? Ready? This is why I said, wait, what day did this come out? Shocker, James Gunn exits DC Studios, Dwayne Johnson to run unit. I'm like, wait a minute, when did this come out?
Yeah.
It starts off at a stunning move, Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav sacked James Gunn and Peter Safran and made a deal with Dwayne Johnson and Hiram Garcia to run DC Studios. Right? And then it ends, Zaslav with... We'll have a town hall with Warner Brothers Discovery staffers on Monday to reintroduce Johnson and Cole, and this part's on the line. This whole entire thing, a sham. April Fools. Yes. So now I will put on this costume that was based on my Fox.com Fox.com costume. And... There we go. There. Now I'm ready. Okay. And joining us in the WCOC studios of Champions Online, We have Alan and the Teddysons, Mr. Nom Nom and Clarence, and we have Silvery Grit hanging out on top of the cameras, and myself and Mad Viking, and of course over in City of Heroes on the Excelsior server, hanging out on the steps of City Hall in downtown Atlas Park. Myself, Mad Viking, and Hell Lord Satan, and whoever else is tuning in, listening to it. Thank you all for tuning in. Yes, I know. There. Or do I just have to type something? Wow. Oh, okay. I was like, it's 8:30 and they're still talking. Roman and company, Roman Reigns. But then I forgot Triple H came out first. But hold on. It's half an hour in. We don't have a match yet. This reminds me of when I was in the Wrestling Unstoppable thing the first couple of years when I started doing my podcast, you know, doing Blog Talk Radio, and we talk about Raw, the three-hour show, ready for this one? There used to be a tracker. For a three-hour show, how much wrestling there was back then? Three-hour show, 47 minutes of wrestling. Oh, shit. I know they're saying a tag team matchup tonight between Solo Sikoa, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and a tag team partner of his choice, right? Brock Lesnar just walked out. And we all know Brock and Roman have history. Wasn't that a great match? Wasn't that a great match between Brock Lesnar and almost, let's say, that scientific wrestling, that 30-minute duel of move versus move? Glad I didn't get up to get a drink. Holy shit. I saw multiple threads on social media, and they went, almost is supposed to be your next beast. He got taken out with basically one, with three German suplexes and one F5. Wow.
Seriously? Great Khali?
He's bigger. He's bigger than Andre. He got taken out with one F5.
Like I said, can you say Great Khali?
Yeah, I mean, how many wrestlers have you seen take? Even Goldberg, he took like three F5s and kicked out. Roman Reigns took like four or five F5s and kicked out. Almost, he's 7'6". Okay, yeah, he's a foot taller than Brock Lesnar, 125 pounds heavier than Brock Lesnar. One F5?
Well, yeah, you got to give the Oscar for best actor to Brock Lesnar because he's back! He's back!
Oh, yeah.
We were talking soccer player level acting. Look at YouTube. You'll see it.
I saw it live. I'm not doing Jeff Goldblum. So I didn't tell you where I was. I didn't tell you guys what I was doing Saturday night that I missed. Yeah, so I went out Saturday night, and if I had known, no, I'm glad I went. I'm glad I went for the experience to experience it. So basically, by the time I got back, I watched the last two matches of WrestleMania Night 1, and then I was, for some reason after that, I was able to rewind it and watch the middle two matches, right? And then by that point, I was able to watch the replay and watch the first two matches. I'm like, I am watching this thing totally out of order. Right, and then today I found out last night that Pat McAfee fought The Miz night one. I watched that match today. I was like, what? I was like, oh, that's when I ran to the bathroom. Shit. I missed that. So, about a month or so ago, about 2 months ago, my brother-in-law and my sister were here, and they said, oh, do you want to go to bingo? It's going to be at the ambulance place, the local ambulance house. I said, sure. It's going to be April 1st. It's not registering. That's WrestleMania night at that point, right? And they go, but here's the catch. Here's the catch. It's going to be drag queen bingo. I'm like, what? Yeah, it's going to be hosted by two drag queens. I'm like, my curiosity is piqued. I'm like, okay, I've got to go see this. Oh, speaking of almost, here he comes. He's got a hooded shirt on, a hood on so far over his head until they panned out that you could see that the word almost behind him. It's almost. Okay. Anyway, so it was like $60 to go. Worth it. They had the refreshments, you know, that. But each table, you could bring snacks. Now, here's the funny thing. If you go by yourself, if you go with a group, you can only, they forgot to check or to apply for the liquor license for the night. So they were able to get it. Each table could bring two bottles of wine. But if you go by yourself, you can only bring one bottle. And I'm like, yeah, if you're a table of eight, you can only bring two bottles of wine. But if you're a table of eight individuals reading this, each person can bring one bottle of wine. That table could get all shit-faced if you're all sociable.
Hey. Yeah, that's the end of the end. I can see the final bingo game. All right, starting the final one. B6, bingo.
No, that was the first number. It's a full card. They were talking quite a bit about this whole thing against drag queens and all that. And it's like, you got to remember, like the people who hate the fact that the kids were there, that's the parents' fault for bringing them. You know, when the drag queens are doing a show and the kids run up, like, you know, like in public, why aren't the parents stopping the kids from running up? You know, they're there doing entertainment. They can't stop a show when they're in the middle of a show. They also said, you ready for this one? In Tennessee, you know it's illegal. They could get 10 years in jail.
Each state has different rules.
I know. I was like, what? They're like, yeah, they could do trans surgery in Tennessee, but if you dress in drag, even for Halloween, you get 10 years in jail automatically. It's ridiculous. But
once again, I point out the insanity of life.
Yep. Why do I keep getting AFK over my head? What's going on here?
It likes you. It really likes you.
I know. That's ridiculous. But anyway, there you go. That's it. But it was fun. It was entertaining. There was no harm. No foul. You know what I mean? It was just the entertainment. Everybody had a good time. That was it.
Yep. Yeah, I lived, you know, I was in the Florida Keys here. And from where I live,
right,
it's about 100 miles, is Key West. Once you go down the ocean side of Duval Street, yep,
mm-hmm,
no problem. The thing is, you know it. You're aware of
yep
it. They advertise
yep
it. And they do it tastefully.
Yes. Yes. That's what these two did. They did it very tastefully. They put on a great show. You know, between games, and no one had a problem. Everybody was getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just for entertainment. That's all it was.
And, you know, and at the same time, they, at that time period, you know, they realize right. here people's going to be going like, yeah. Present them, you know, that's it. They presented themselves in a dignified way. They presented themselves as professional.
Yep.
And there was even, you know, I still remember a few guys who go like, okay, I have to admit it. I thought you were a woman.
Really?
Yep. You know, like I said, they take it, you know, to the nth degree. If they're in their mind, they are a woman, they will put the
right.
effort to be a woman. And not, and I'm saying this because there's this one guy who lives in my area. This is the second year of transition, just the starter.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like Ernest Borgnine in drag.
Really?
So I'm going from Key West where, yeah, they want to be a woman. They're going to dress. They're going to look. They're going to act. They're going to be. To that. The other
wow.
side of the spectrum. Like,
that's
I
funny.
Am a woman to go like, no, I used to live near Key West here. I know what a person, a man going to be a woman, dressing, being a woman, knows what that's supposed to look like. You ain't it.
Right.
You may be in transition. I'll give you that. But you ain't there yet. And, you know, before anyone starts doing the shame, once again, like I said, I used to live in Florida near Key West. They put the effort.
Mm-hmm.
They put the deal in. And treated people, even if they were totally against them, treated them with respect.
That's right.
Why? They realize there's going to be people who's not going to agree with what they do. They realize.
Right. Right. Well, one of the ones who were there, they said during the week, they teach disabled kids all week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not, you know, so there you go.
All right. You know we're probably going to get a few pants in the comments. We went from trust to this. Is that something that's, you know, we're going to get picked on.
I know. They're going to go, what the hell are you two talking about tonight?
Yeah.
This is our, you know, we had a busy month with everything going on, all the March Madness. This is what happens when all the madness ends, brother. Oh, yeah.
they're like,
this is an April Fool's show, right? No, this is real life. This is how.
No, this is our view looking at real life, which should be labeled as an April Fool's joke, especially what's going to happen tomorrow. Once again, I don't care if you're for or against. I'm just going to avoid Manhattan 100%. In fact, I'm not even going near the Bronx. I'm not going near Staten. I'm not even going to go near New Jersey.
I live in the middle of Suffolk County on Long Island. Nowhere near the south. I'm definitely near the south coast. I'm like 10 minutes away from Smith Point Beach. Yeah. The furthest I have to go west is to take my mom to dialysis. I might have to go somewhere to pick something up for my brother for his shop on the way back. And then I'm coming home. If I have to go to the store to get something for dinner, that's as far as I'm going tomorrow.
Now that's when you go like here, all right, can you deliver? No, trust me, I'm not going
to. Yeah, right. Yeah, I think I got money in my wallet. If you want to get a pizza, we'll get a pizza for dinner. We'll do that.
You know, no, ShopRite delivers the food, so it's like.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You have to pay a little more, but considering.
That's
no. Let's deal with what's going to happen
on
the streets.
I'm locking, you know. Or even if we go right afterwards. Oh, Mad Viking, you're the one who has AFK over your head now.
I just jumped.
Oh, no, I've got it. What the hell? This is ridiculous. Okay.
I just feel sorry for anyone that has to, because of their work, have to go into Manhattan.
Right, right, right.
Well, it's like, not only that, we're talking the Brooklyn Bridge. We're talking the GW Bridge. I don't care what they renamed it to. I know it as the Tappan Zee Bridge. They're going to be busy. Mm. And for those who are going, GW means George Washington. And God forbid the Lincoln Tunnel. They're going like, it sounds like it's going to be a war zone. Well, we've seen the other cities. It's our turn. We're just going like, nope, not going to do it.
Wait, speaking of drag, I just found this article.
Mm-hmm.
Drag star Jinx Monsoon joins the cast of Doctor Who.
Well, if he's a good actor, he or she,
yeah, hold
depending
on
his
right.
view.
Let me read it. Doctor Who doesn't often feature regular characters who are American. And when it does, like Sixth Doctor Companion Perry, they're not always played by Americans. That's changing in the upcoming season, with Portland, Oregon's own Jinx Monsoon joining the cast, the first drag queen to win two seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. Monsoon will presumably appear in drag, being billed under the stage name rather than as Jerick Hoffer. The role is described as major, but that's only detail so far. Via the official Doctor Who site, showrunner Russell T. Davies said, in a galaxy of comets and supernovas, here comes the biggest star of all, Jinx Monsoon, is on a collision course with the TARDIS, and Doctor Who will never be the same again. And Monsoon, I'm honored, thrilled. What?
I thought Doctor Who was like had the same kind of clause as the Harry Potter series, British only.
No, well, hold on, let me finish reading.
All right.
I'm honored, thrilled, utterly excited to join Doctor Who. Russell T. Davies is a visionary and a brilliant writer. I can't wait to get into the weeds with him and the crew. I hope there's room in TARDIS for my luggage. Doctor Who returns in November. Okay, finally. Yeah, I'm wondering when these episodes are going to occur. November, with three episodes starring David Tennant. New Doctor, Nakuti Godwa, takes over for the traditional holiday special. Thank God we're getting a holiday special again. In the U.S. and everywhere else outside the U.K. and Ireland. These will be the first episodes to debut on Disney Plus. Oh. Oh. Well, I did not know that.
Disney got a hold of Doctor Who. Oh, God. That's not a problem.
Well, I don't know. Hold on.
That's not promising.
Okay.
I now have an image of all the recent Doctor Who's going, hi,
No. Okay. I don't know.
It's like, all right, save yourself. Get Rowan Atkinson in. Put Rowan Atkinson as the doctor. Come on, put it in. He's around the age now. He already had training, courtesy of Comedy Relief. Comic Relief. There we go.
Yes. Oh, this is funny. Josh Brolin reflects on where Jonah Hex went wrong. The writing room?
Everywhere.
Oh, no, let's see. Okay, so 4 years before he joined the MCU's Thanos in Guardians of the Galaxy, Josh Brolin headlined his own comic book movie based on DC's Western hero, Jonah Hex. The 2010 film took several liberties with Hex, including giving him a supernatural ability to speak with the dead that was never a part of the comics.
No.
No kidding. And despite And despite its modest $47 million budget, it bombed with only around $11 million.
May as well have been $11.
There was one guy, there were three people there on Discount Tuesday. They didn't even buy concessions. They just sat there. They snuck their own in. During a recent interview, they snuck, actually they bought concessions. They snuck in through the exit door. All right. During a recent interview with Variety, the friend works at it. Let him know, like, it's not even worth paying. Just buy concessions. Okay. we'll give you half off concessions, but you have to watch Shona Hex. Oh, do we have to? Yeah, shut up now. During a recent interview with Variety, was very frank about where he thought the movie went wrong. In his mind, Brolin feels that he made a mistake when selecting Jimmy Hayward to direct Jonah Hex. Everyone knows how I feel about Jonah Hex, said Brolin. But the biggest thing with Jonah Hex is rushing into hiring somebody. I remember Jeff Robinov, who I'm still close with, who was running Warner Brothers at the time, and he was like, look, you've got to get a director in the next 2 weeks. Otherwise, we've got to can this thing. And then you meet somebody who has a lot of knowledge, Jimmy Hayward. And I remember it didn't feel right. I love that he was excited, but he just didn't have the experience, and he didn't treat it like I would imagine somebody would want to treat it. To run back to the house at the end of there every day and watch Tonal Inspirations and Scorsese movies or this or that, he would be out partying instead. Oh, there you go. Brolin also lamented that that he helped assemble wasn't given a movie worthy of their efforts. Not that I had a ton of pull then, but I brought in Megan Fox, who I thought was perfect for that role, recall. Maybe not the best actress at the moment. No shit, not the best actress. But for that type of parody, forget it. Her at the moment, you couldn't do better than that. And Michael Fassbender, one of our best actors who had done Shame and Hunger, are you kidding me? John Malkovich had just been ripped off by Bernie Madoff, and we're asking him to do it for a third of his price? He said yes. I mean, I still hold these people. So the intention was there. I just think we made a big mistake with the director. Not to blame it all at him, because that was my choice. That was my bad choice. Additionally, Roland noted that the studio's cut of the film didn't help things at all. The studio took it over, and every time that's happened, in my experience, it has only gotten worse, said Roland. That's what happens when you start cutting to the idea of pandering for an audience and how testing can bite you in the ass. You don't know what the audience is going to want. Jonah Hex was them taking the movie back and saying, how can we make this the most accessible movie? And they ended up making the least accessible movie. It's like this. You make the movie, you tell the director, go fuck yourself, and you find, once you start doing that, you say, look, we made a mistake, you find another director.
You know what the people want? I'll tell you what the people want. Stick with the script! There's so many comics.
This is what you do.
Weird West.
You go find Jonah Hex, like the very first, whatever you were basing the movie off of. You find those comics, you give it to the director and say, here, this is what we want done. Then you storyboard it. Oh, storyboard. Yes, yes, I've heard of that. Oh, my God. Okay, then you storyboard it. Right? And then you want shot for shot. Okay? Can't believe I'm telling people how to direct a movie. And then you want those shots, and you want it in motion. You know, as I'm doing this, I'm holding my hand up in the air like I'm pointing things on a board. But you want those key shots. You see the ones on the storyboard, you want those key shots. That'll tie them all together. And once you got that, everything is good to go. Oh, and I must say, One of the best moments of WrestleMania, Rey Mysterio, while Dominic was stuck between the turnbuckles, Rey Mysterio took his belt off, doubled it over, and whooped Dominic like behind the woodshed, boy. He whooped his ass with that belt. I said, give it to him, right? Whoop him like you would behind the woodshed. And he went crying to his mom, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy, whoop me. You should have done that years ago to you. What? What? I was dying.
Every generation Xer who remembers their parents pulling the belt out.
Says,
one,
it's about
has
time
to
you should have that
pain,
ago,
and at the
bastard.
Same time going, that's how you do it.
I think every Gen Xer in attendance was cheering him on for that. I don't know if he really said that. I was just doing an MST3K riff over that whole thing. But it's like, Mommy, Mommy, he spanked me. He spanked. Well, good. You should have got that years ago.
What?
Even his sister was applauding.
Now that
you know it's
that we're saying there should be spanking. Okay.
Where's Mask? Where's Rain? Where are the bunnies? What? They're going to parade in their Brazilian outfits with a belt on their hands.
No, Mask will hunt us down for saying spanking.
What? Oh, they don't like spanking?
Yeah, not Mask, no.
Hell, Lord Satan. Wait, hold on.
Hello, Satan, you got AFK over your head. It's our turn.
I know. I wrote a coalition for
him. Whoopsie.
Oh.
Oh, and this is on a personal note for me. Now, people's going like, you're getting a little political. Well, because one of my favorite all-time political satirists passed away, Mark Russell.
Yeah.
If you were old enough to remember when comedians made fun of everybody and it was election time, you went to PBS and watched Mark Russell. Again, tastefully, highbrow. You know, no curse words, no foul language. He just pointed out, hey, you know, you're a politician, you're in my target. Simple. And I found out his last show was the 2016 election, which I found ironic, you know, because many people's going like, he was just getting old and, you know, couldn't do it anymore. I'm kind of more leaning. He was reading the tea leaves. He saw what was going on and was going like, nope, I'm getting out.
Ooh. Sorry.
Huh?
Okay, no. Superhero Hype, they have this thing about Dungeons and Dragons figures, complete movie team, add beasts. So they have a set for the Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves, and they add in the Owlbear. But if you scroll down, I don't know if you know the name Xanathar. It's a beholder, but one of the books, one that I have for our campaign whenever we started, is Xanathar's Guide to Everything or something like that. It's a beholder, and he's got a pet fish in a bowl. And sure enough, it's Xanathar the Beholder. And it's it's him, and he's got his pet fish in the bowl, and there's a pile of gold, I guess it is. I don't know what that is, what that's supposed to be. But
I will say, a lot of people saying finally they did a D&D movie that was good.
Yeah, I'm hearing good things. I want to go see that this week before I see John Wick. And I know, because I haven't seen any John Wick in the movie theater, so.
And I love the fact that in the, you know, they show in preview clips, you actually see people playing the 1980s cartoon characters. All six.
Oh, really?
The only thing people complained about, where was Uni? They couldn't hire Frank Welker?
It was just a cameo. It was just supposed to be a cameo, so.
Yeah, but they could have just even went, nah, you know, have Frank Welker
shout. Oh, wow. Hold on. They have these ready for this? They have these things called Dicelings. These action figures.
Mm-hmm.
They look like D20s with no numbers on them, right? One is a mimic, right? They open up into these things. Another one opens up into a displacer beast. A crystal looking displacer beast. Another one opens into an owl beast. Another one opens up into a green dragon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scrolling down, and that's why it's taking so long. Oh, and then just the regular owl bear that you see in the movie. Huh. There's Xanathar again, the displacer beast that you see in the footage. I'm not giving spoilers away, people. The mimic that we see in the maze thing. Trying to see what else we see here. That looks cool.
Oh,
okay,
it's
the pilot
time.
Is the stand holder. Okay. Hold on. We got time. And then characters from the movie. Two characters from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know where I can order these from.
And you're AFK again.
All right.
And here comes
Hold on. The Dicelings are going to be $13.99 each. Oh, Silgar is the name of the fish. Okay, so figures of Noble Paladin Zenk, played by Rosie Jean Page, shapeshifting Druid Doric, played by Sophia Lillis, will join the toy line later this spring. And that's not all. The Panther-like Displacer Beast in the arena is $44.99. Holy shit. Jeez.
Speaking of she's, take a look at the tomb people. Do you see something? I see a ranger, a barbarian, an acrobat, the thief, the cavalier, and presto.
Where are you looking?
The people bringing the tome from the tomb.
Why are my intern bots dressed like the Dungeons & Dragons characters?
Because we talked like, about
get,
them.
Oh, good lord. Yeah, but you know what's funny? You know the one who always dresses up no matter what?
Mm-hmm.
He's in drag. Why? No. Stop spinning. No. Just give me the book. Okay, go ahead.
So that's the acrobat.
No. There's seven of them. There's the six characters.
Oh, so that's
no, there's eight. No, there's eight of them. There's six. There's one dressed like Uni, and then the one who's always flaky. He's dressed like just a drag queen. Full gown, wig. How'd you get makeup on your screen? You're ridiculous. You're giggling. Just go. There is really something wrong with your wiring. I don't know.
Anyway.
And damn this thing, every time I go looking, disappears. I can't find him. I don't know where he hides. Yes, I know it's a big station. All right, let's get to it.
All right, we'll get to the AFK before we get to it.
I got it. All right. Okay. So, in the annals, be careful with that word, of comic book history.
Why not? We got on every subject. Why not just go?
I know. I'm just saying, man. Okay. We've had many supervillains. But if one of yours is mentioned in this book, you need a major upgrade. Because these are oddball criminals from comic book history. These are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains.
Here we go.
The Golden Age represented.
Oh, the priceless ones. Here we go.
This one is an enemy of Brad Spencer, Wonder Man, created by Bob Oxner and, oh, here we go, an uncredited writer.
Oh, no, here we go.
It's going to be a hoot, this one. Debuted in Wonder Comics, number 9, Better/Standard/Knitter, December 1946. Question. He's sick of answering. Doctor Who do? The quote. Ah, what a mistake to think Dr. Voodoo can be eluded. What a mistake. And of course, as by now you guessed it, I'm talking about Dr. Voodoo.
No relation to they Dr. Say, Voodoo of what's up today.
That's right. Or maybe this. They say you should dress for the job you want, not the job you have. If the intergalactic Dr. Voodoo is following that advice, it's difficult to say what job he's aiming for. Clad in tuxedo and tails, he seems more prepared for a career as a maitre d' or a cartoon mayor than as the servant of an ever-living goddess of evil. Fearful as our earthly wars have been, begins the introductory caption to Dr. Voodoo's first appearance. None can approach the carnage and destruction of the imminent invasion from the dark satellite of the moon, where every evil soul that ever existed has taken refuge. A later caption celebrates Dr. V's accolades, claiming that no menace has ever been as threatening. After all, his lethal genius has tapped the horrors of the universe. Dr. Voodoo emerges from the inky blackness of space in the company of Lilith, goddess of all evil, and her consort, the immortal emperor. Okay, I thought there was something more to that. While Dr. Voodoo's appearance... I built it up too much, I guess. I'm sorry. While Dr. Voodoo's appearance is a little absurd. Formal attire. Two spikes of horn-like hair on either side of his bald pate, or pate. I'm sorry, I'm tired. A pan-like goatee. His look is downright staid compared to the immortal emperor. With a yellow rhombus-shaped head split across the front by a cartoonish grin, the emperor appears to be an ecstatic novelty pencil eraser. Still, the emperor is married to the boss, and that means Voodoo must hop to. Oh, good Lord. Doubling down on the techno battle in his eternal war against Earth's defender, Fred Spencer, a.k.a. Wonder Man, Voodoo unleashes squads of anthrozoons against cosmoplanes using vapor guns, frigitrons, and a vacuum spiral. Then later accepts assistance from a solar army of thermodons. Yet, for all his efforts, Dr. Voodoo doesn't seem too interested in capturing our embattled planet. Is the world really worth conquering, he ponders? Its history isn't a pretty one. Wars, hatred. Trump. You'd imagine that wars and hatred would be right up the alley of a villain serving an evil goddess upon a planet of pure evil. But clearly, Dr. Voodoo has refined tastes. When Lilith's planet, also called Lilith, is destroyed in a battle with Wonder Man, Dr. Voodoo searches for a new seat of the Empire. But the Queen of Evil considers Earth her rightful domain. Harried and henpecked, Voodoo has no choice but to comply. Dr. Voodoo and his allies disappeared from Wonder Man's ongoing narrative, though the hero's saga continued for a few more issues. Perhaps Voodoo was marshaling his anthrozoons when he should have been recharging his frigitrons for another attack on Earth's peaceful cosmoplanes.
The one thing that caught my ear on that one, and I'm going like you, what you said, dark satellite of the moon. In the
yes.
not too distant future.
Future. Even back then, they laid the groundwork for MST3K. Oh, good Lord. Oh, goodness gracious.
For what?
The Silver Age one. Remember last week we talked about Mod Gorilla Boss?
Oh, no.
For the Silver Age. Well, this week is a tie-in to that.
Oh, no.
For this week, we have Evil Inventory. From the Silver Age, I give you Sinister Simians. Historians disagree which legendary editor said it first, but it's an accepted truism that apes sell comics. Publishers with an eye on the bottom line couldn't help but notice that putting a monkey or a gorilla on a comic book cover increased sales dramatically. So I give you five of the most sinister simians. First up, this one was created by William Moulton. William Moulton Marston and H.G. Peter. This one debuted in Wonder Woman Volume 1, Number 9, DC Comics, June 1944. I give you Giganta.
Now, wait
a minute. Screen. Hold on. Yeah, I'm wondering this whole thing too, but it's a picture of her face, and there's a gorilla, a picture of a gorilla face next to her. So let me see what's going on here.
Okay, the original argument, and it was pointed out in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon, that she was started off as a gorilla and then was made into a human.
Jump.
But Giganta is like one of the big ones, literally.
Okay, well, hold on. Ready? Here we go. Her stature and scream. Rolling locks of shocking red hair and glamorous leopard print two-piece might make the exceptionally tall Giganta seem like a human woman, but in fact, she's a super evolved ape. Okay, there you go. Driven up the evolutionary ladder by an experimental machine that sends the entire world into a prehistoric state of grace, the clever and vicious Giganta takes the opportunity to try to convince the people of the primordial world to choose evil over good. Luckily, Wonder Woman is there to stop her. Okay? Next up. This one was created by David V. Reed, Lou Sayer Schwartz, and Charles Paris. Debuted in Batman Volume 1, Number 75 of DC Comics, February 1953. I give to you the gorilla boss of Gotham City. Mobster George Dyke is executed for his wrongdoings, but his henchmen retrieve his body from the gas chamber. With Dyke's brain placed inside the skull of a giant ape, the freshly created Titanic Beast embarks on a crime spree around Batman's hometown. Despite this war, Gorilla Boss is ultimately defeated. Adding insult to injury, assorted aliens then steal his brain. He used it for weird space experiments. Goodness. All right, this next one. Created by Dave Wood and Bernard Bailey. Debuted in Strange Adventures number 186 of DC Comics, March 1966. I give you The Gorilla Witch. Jungle explorer Reed Upton sets out to discover a strange serum that should grant him mental contact with all forms of animal life. What he finds is a scheming gorilla named Taro, T-A-R-O. After using the bubbling serum to turn the man into a mindless ape and transform himself into an intellectual giant, Taro plans to conquer the world. The evil gorilla then disguises himself as Upton in order to acquire rare chemicals for his ape army. But his scheme unravels because he wears Upton's eye patch on the wrong eye. Apparently, he's only just so smart. Good Lord. All right. Next one, created by Otto Binder and Wayne Boring. Debuted in Action Comics number 2.
Boring, huh?
Yeah. Oh, that's a name. Okay, debut in Action Comics number 238, DC Comics, March 1958. I give you King Krypton. Guess whose villain this is?
Well, jeez. Superman, Supergirl, or Power Girl?
It's Superman. When Superman and his pal Jimmy Olsen stumble across a giant golden superpowered ape in the wilds of Africa, the Man of Steel jumps to the likeliest conclusion. Kryptonian scientists must have rocketed the ape to Earth. Well, joke's on you, Supes. The ape is a Kryptonian scientist who accidentally turned a de-evolution ray on himself. So, his friends put him in a rocket ship in hopes that being lost in space might cure him. Anyway, he turns back into a person just before dying. A real mess all around. Lord. And finally, this one is created by Carol Suling and Ross Andrew. Debuted in Shanna the She-Devil. Shanna the She-Devil. Number 4, Marvel Comics, June 1973. I give you the Mandrill. Jerome Beachman had the misfortune of being born with baboon-like features, an appearance that subjected him to lifelong torment. On the plus side, his mutation also gave him the power to control women with his pheromones, assembling an all-woman army to conquer the world and partnering with a vampire-like villainess named Nikra. He is subsequently defeated by jungle heroine Shanna the She-Devil. The Mandrill has returned a few times, only to be defeated anew by different heroes. Poor little monkey.
I remember Iron Man.
With the Mandrill, right?
I could have
sworn the Mandrill sounded familiar. All right, we have one more to go, and that brings us to the modern age.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
It's 90s time.
That's right. Quite so. Actually, no, it's 80s time. Late 80s. 87, to be exact. All right. This is an enemy of the Badger, created by Mike Barron and Bill Reinhold. This villain debuted in The Badger, number 27, First Comics,
snake,
September 1987.
Snake.
not to be confused with Wrangler Roach, Cowboy Vermin, who does not exist yet. The quote, "We leave at midnight, every roach in the city of Chicago. I give to you the Roach Wrangler." Seriously, who comes up with this shit? Oh, my God. Okay. Considering that they're one of the most problematic, hated, and reviled household pests, it's kind of surprising that cockroaches haven't inspired more comic book villains. One of the select few is the Roach Wrangler, whose power and appearance are as gross as the name implies. Answering to Slumlord Elmo Zims, who bears an uncanny resemblance to musician Fats Waller, the Roach Wrangler is employed to coerce. Everybody's going to go, "Hey, that looks like Fats Waller," instead of going, when I just read that line. Because I just read and went, "Who?" in my head. So, there you go. The Roach Wrangler is employed to coerce Chicago's plentiful cockroach population into helping Zims clear his property of troublesome tenants. Curious about his partner in crime, Zims asks the Roach Wrangler to explain how he gained the power to control the cockroach. Yes, that's the first thing I'd ask, not, "What the fuck are you doing?" No, that's the first thing I'd ask. So, here we go with his origin story, because I bet that's what you're all wondering. Not about the Fats Waller thing. This. Here we go. "I was a pest control officer with the U.S. Information Agency in the Sudan," the villain recounts. "I was lost in a sandstorm and fell into a pit. It was the entrance to an undiscovered Egyptian tomb. I lay trapped for 30 days. I had nothing to eat or drink but the roaches. An endless parade straight into my mouth. I knew I was changing. I could not help myself." Settle your stomach, as the Wrangler goes on to describe how, after his month spent trapped in the hidden crypt, he was given a gift by his skittering roommates, a golden roach-shaped wand. "From that day forth, they have danced to my tune." The Roach Wrangler has designs on ruling Chicago as its undisputed roach king. Okay, before I go any further, does Roach King sound like something marijuana-based or something? Is anybody else thinking that besides me? Be honest. Hello? Anybody out there? Anybody? Come on. The man is biking. He's like, come on. And a roach-shaped wand. Dancing to tune. What do cockroaches dance to? Come on.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha.
La cucaracha.
They do a little conga line.
Oh, I should still be. I should have thought of that. I was thinking maybe something in the native tongue, like, you know, like snake jazz, you know. Is it cockroach fusion, you know, metal?
Well,
I don't know.
I was laughing at that, and also, I just remembered, do you remember Creepshow? The guy that was so much of a neat freak?
Yes. And he had the germaphobe.
There he is.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. All right, on with this one. Okay, here we go. Okay. The Roach Wrangler has designs on ruling Chicago as its undisputed Roach King, but he comes into conflict with Wisconsin's resident costume vigilante, the Badger. Badger? We don't need no stinking Badger. Okay. A martial artist with multiple personalities and a seemingly supernatural connection to the animal kingdom. Okay, hold on. So the Badger is a martial artist who's schizophrenic. That makes sense.
And he's going up against the guy who controls roaches.
And he talks about, okay, I see the wand. This wand thing is just a giant gold cockroach that fits in the guy's hand. It's not even really like a wand. I don't know what the fuck it is. All right. This is just crazy. At the Illinois-Wisconsin state line, two armies converge. On the Roach Wrangler side, 1 billion roaches make a noise like fat sizzling on a white-hot griddle, amplified beyond the threshold of pain. Really?
There goes now, your taste of bacon for a week.
Oh, my God. Thank God I can only have turkey bacon that's nitrite and nitrate free. I got to cook it in the oven. I just wait till it's done. God damn it. On the Badger side is a repelling force of steamrollers, road graders, and trained elephants, horses, rats, cats, and dogs. Oh, my God. It's what the Badger yells to his army. Goosh, goosh, for all you're worth, the Badger cries.
Good.
And it's goosh, G-O-O-S-H. Goosh, I say, goosh, the Badger cries, and his forces demolish the roaches, reducing the swarming mass to a paste suitable only for lawn fertilizer. As for the Roach Wrangler, his popularity surges. With Chicago having been depleted, With Chicago having been depleted of a troublesome cockroach population, other cities seek to employ him as a Pied Piper of pests. He declines the offer, preferring to return occasionally for more roach-related criminality. Still, it must be nice to have a career to fall back on.
And which company did this one here? Hold on, the Badger.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting back to it. Hold on. Go back to the page. That was First Comics. It was The Badger, number 27, September 1987.
And the Badger hails from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yes. He's a martial artist with schizophrenic and supernatural ability. Affinity
IDW.
With...
Okay. It's now in the IDW.
Oh, First is not their IDW now. Oh, okay. This is the early days of IDW. Huh. I was going to say, I'd be shocked if it's still in business. That's funny.
And his name is Norbert. It's
Who's
Shaggy.
Norbert?
It's Shaggy. There you go. He talks to dogs.
There you go. Is it awfully quiet? On Champions Online side, is it awfully quiet, or is it just me?
They're all gone like, what the hell are they doing?
what is going on, man? Goodness gracious.
coming up 5 minutes.
I don't know if we could possibly top this. I don't
well,
know.
Someone brought up a possibility that may be in the book.
Wait, what?
Someone brought in a supervillain that may be in the book, and this is coming from the minor villain in Young Justice.
Okay.
And I'm guessing because Rain has been missing for 4 months, so I guess they want to do this just to remind us of her.
Okay. Which villain? What's the villain's name?
The quote, the Mighty Endowed.
The Mighty Endowed?
Mighty Endowed. Professor Nita Dowd was directing an excavation to find possible relics of an ancient civilization, when one of her assistants discovered a car wheel-like artifact buried in the ground. Dowd eagerly went to inspect the find. Her co-worker betrayed... hold on.
I'm looking here. I don't see it.
All right.
Yeah,
so
I don't
see it. Could be dangerous, and warned her not to touch it, but she scorned such that and laid her hand on the artifact. A blast of light, she was instantly sealed in a crystal cocoon. Dowd said, called with the events, soon the Young Justice teams of Robin, Superboy, Impulse, and the recently awakened Red Tornado arrived to assist the DEO in the investigation. Impulse managed to crack the cocoon, and from it emerged Professor Dowd, transformed into the Mighty Endowed. They barely got a chance to fight before Dowd's upper body weight caused her to fall over and unable to stand, which then she was taken to DEO custody. Guess what her powers are?
Go on.
New God physiology. It seems that this thing had something to tie in with the new gods.
Okay.
And hypnosis.
Hmm.
So it's a unique superhero use ability to tie to her next namesake. thanks to the super cycle generic tampering, her bust size increased to ridiculous proportions. And the secondary abilities, you see, to emit a hypnotic light from said area, enchanting anyone who stares at them for too long and making them their willing puppet. Weakness,
interesting.
Limited mobility. And than one time in 1998, in 1999, and 2002.
We have less than 90 seconds left. So really quickly, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Without you guys, it would just be me and Mad Viking talking about this to each other.
She's a cat girl.
Yes.
She's a cat girl.
What?
She's a cat girl.
Of course she is. Yes, she is. Of course.
We'll find her in Pocket D at the Couch eventually.
All right. So, as I usually say, read those comic books or superhero novels if you have any. Watch those superhero shows, movies, et cetera, and genre shows. And we'll see you back here next Monday night, same time, say super. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mad Viking?
Good night, hello. Gracie. And for some reason, I was expecting Rain to come on and slap me.
Let me check. She might be. All right, don't forget the Greatest Generation podcast comes up next. Tune in to Dawn Radio, Embrace the Dawn. Don't forget the new website, dawnradio.com?
Org.
I knew that, dawnradio.org. And I even have it on my computer. Dawnradio.org is the new website. Go to it, check it out. See you all next time. We're out of here. Okay, we're in the after thing. All right, I'm going to hang up. You can go do your thing. Thank you, sir, and I'll see you when. If I don't see you, I'll see you Wednesday night for Funny Movie Night. Have a good one.
All right.
See you later.
All right,
see you later. Bye. Bye.